That goes right along with what the word is for us tonight. We talked about it today, the importance of continuing to labor to get into heaven. Hallelujah. We looked at the fact that just because we prayed the sinner's prayer and we confessed with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believed in our heart God raised him from the dead, we're on our way to heaven. We can't take it easy. Amen. Just as the song said, we got to keep believing. God's kept has every failure. God's got every success, and God's got every plan. Thank you, Sister Nancy, for singing for us. Hallelujah. Brother Matthew, for playing drums for us. Looking forward to them doing that more. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 13, verses 23 to 30. Luke 13, 23 to 30. We'll stand out of respect for the word of the Lord. Two verses of scripture to start off with tonight. Luke 23 and 24. The word of God says this. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Listen to that. Are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. Hallelujah. Listen to it again. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Pray with me, please, as I preach a message entitled, Strive to Enter. Father, I come before you right now asking you for that anointing that makes preaching effective. Lord, I ask you to hide me behind the cross, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, as our sister sang tonight, you've got it all, Lord, in the palm of your hand, Lord. It's already done as far as you're concerned. You know the outcome of every situation, of every circumstance. Lord, I pray that you would just help me to preach according to your will and according to your word, Lord. For tonight, Lord, you know the needs of the people, those that need to be encouraged, those that need to be rebuked, those that need to be exhorted with all diligence, Lord God, giving heed to the Holy Ghost, Lord. And I pray that you would use this vessel of clay. Oh, God, that I would just be filled with your Holy Spirit, afresh and anew, and poured out to your people. And God, we give you the praise and glory and honor for having your way. We take authority over every enemy and command them to go in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just speak liberty to your people to obey you and hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell him you're glad to see him in God's house tonight. Hallelujah. It's interesting to know there are those that would preach to you and tell you that once you pray the sinner's prayer, you can go about your life. You can do whatever you want to do, but that is very contrary to what the Word of God tells us. And there are many people, maybe some in your own family, some that you work with, maybe your neighbors that live across the street from you, you have had discussions with them about the subject of salvation, and they will tell you that they prayed the sinner's prayer. But, beloved, I want to tell you, while that's wonderful and that's the start of salvation, that is not the end all. We've already looked at it this morning. We've got to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. We've got to eschew evil and we've got to do the right thing. And here is another passage of the Lord Jesus where in Luke 13, beginning with verse 20, somebody asked him, saying, Lord, are there few that be saved? I believe, first of all, we see here the importance is not on the individual who asked the question. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. I'm believing God for a great revival with the amount of sin, and sin on a level like we've never had to deal with before. I'm believing for a great revival. I'm believing God's going to bring these men and these women and these confused individuals out of the lifestyles, so it doesn't really matter who they are. It's just that they are in sin and they need a Savior.
Amen.
And God wants to go to them through us and give them the saving message. And so I don't want you to lose hope on your lost loved ones, on your neighbors, on your co-workers, on your schoolmates, whatever it might be. God can save. The Bible still says, whosoever will, let him come. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think you can give him praise and glory on that. The word saved there in the Greek means to be delivered. What are they delivered from? They are delivered from the lake of fire. They are delivered from the worm that dieth not. They are delivered from darkness. They are delivered from weeping and gnashing of teeth. They are delivered from hearing God say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but those are the four worst words I think anyone can hear from the Almighty. I never knew you. So let's look at what Jesus said here in verse 24 in response to him. He didn't say that it was all easy. It might start off easy, but then you got to put forth your effort. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. The word strive there in the Greek means to enter into a contest, to contend for the prize, to struggle or to fight with. Who are we in a contest with? Number one, we're in a contest with Satan himself. How many of you know the devil wants you in hell? He wants you in the lake of fire. He wants you to quit believing on Jesus. He wants you to quit living right. He don't want you to testify to your family. He don't want you to pray. He don't want you to read your Bible. So you got to fight against the devil. Not only that, you got to fight against unsaved loved ones who come at you and want to argue and fight with you. Any of you ever have any of those issues? Then you've got co-workers that you've got to deal with. Then on top of that, there are the problems of life that you've got to deal with. Jesus said, you've got to strive. That means to make every effort to contend for the prize, to enter in at the straight gate. That means it's a narrow road. There's a lot of people who will tell you that the way to heaven is broad. Anybody can go there. And yes, anybody can be saved, but you've got to leave some things behind. You've got to leave your sin behind. Hallelujah. I remember the last time I flew, I was going out there to Texas, going for the quadrennial conference of the Church of God, and as I went through the metal detector, I couldn't just carry everything with me. I had to put that on a conveyor belt, put it to a side, and it had to go through. And that metal detector was only big enough for me to go through. And if I had any metal on me, that thing sounded. Amen? Any of you ever been on metal detectors, you know what we're talking about. So we need to understand, we need to realize that's the straight gate. If I can use that as an analogy tonight, we need to realize, hallelujah, when we go through the gate of Jesus Christ, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we repent of our sins, that's the start of the journey.
Yes, amen.
Just like I wasn't automatically on the plane when I passed through the gate, that was just the start of it. And anything that wasn't there, hallelujah, would have been sounded by that, hallelujah, by that metal detector. And the same way the Holy Spirit starts dealing with us about things that we need to take off. Now, this is where it got kind of personal with me. First of all, I had to take my shoes off. Then I had to take my belt off, and I was beginning to get worried because I went through and it beeped again. Then they took me over to the side and ran one of those hand ones up one side of me and down the other. And they found out, thank the good Lord, it was just my belt button, the buttons in my blue jeans. I said, that ain't coming off, bro. And they laughed and told me I could go on. They just had to find out and be sure. But, beloved, I'm going to tell you, that's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. He will tell us to put things off so he can examine them and so that he can look at them. Hallelujah. And then as we're going through, hallelujah, he will point things out to us and have us remove stuff. And we can either get mad about it. I have one or two options. I can either tell those security guards, no, I'm not going to do what you said. And guess what they tell me? You ain't flying. Find you another way to Texas. And in the same way, it is with the Lord. We can say, Lord, I'm not going to put this down, but I still want to be saved. The Lord said, you don't want to put it down? Fine, you ain't going. And we're going to look at that a little bit tonight as we go through this. How do people say, well, preacher, that's hard preaching. I'm not saying it. Jesus is going unto us, and he shall answer and say to you, I know you not whence ye are. Hallelujah. And this new religion, in the day we're living in now, there's a new religion that's claiming to be just as Christian as we are, but it is not Christ-centered. It is centered on making people feel good. It is centered on making people think that they're accepted to God, just as they are. But the Bible says that we were all, while we are all fearfully and wonderfully made, we were all born into sin. Beloved, when you meet somebody and they tell you God made them gay, or God made them lesbian, or God made them out, put them in the wrong body, you need to tell them, no, he didn't. You are feeling the way you are because of inbred sin. That's in every man, woman, boy, and girl. We've got to crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. But notice what he says here. Look at your neighbor and say, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. When we first came here to pastor y'all, first song my wife and my girls got up with me and we sang was, it's all about you, Lord. And he is wanting to use us to bring people into that kingdom, and he is wanting to use us to be part of that kingdom to glorify his son. Jesus said in John 14, all that the Father hath belongs to me. And I will give it to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will show it unto you. Hallelujah. So what you need tonight, you don't need an angelic visitation. You don't need a great evangelist. You don't need, hallelujah, some wonderful teacher or preacher or anybody else you want to put there. The one you need in your life more than anything else is the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and give God praise. Jesus said that the Holy Ghost will take that which is mine and will show it you. And so I want what Jesus wants me to hear. I want to have what Jesus wants me to have. I want to do what Jesus wants me to. I want to say what Jesus wants me to say. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that's trying to focus on ministries. There's a lot of people that's trying to focus on divine visitation from angels. And all that's well and good. Ain't nothing, none of it. Praise God for it. But the emphasis is always, always, always on the Holy Ghost and on Jesus. And on God the Father. So notice what it says here. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock. When thousands upon millions of money, but it was too late. I believe the Lord was warning me, get ready. I believe the Lord was warning me, I was on the wrong side of the door. I had finally one dream, I had a couple of dreams like that, and then finally I was standing outside the church at night, and I was under a spotlight, and I saw that same type of thing. Thousands and thousands of white lights going up to meet the Lord in the air. And I said, oh, here we go again. But then all of a sudden, I started feeling myself rise. And you know what's funny? I've never had another dream about the rapture since that one. And that's the Lord telling me, I'm on the right side of the door. But I want to ask you tonight, what side of the door are you on? What side of the door are your loved ones on? When we see our loved ones engaging in iniquity, we shouldn't laugh. We shouldn't say, oh, well, that's all right. They prayed the sinner's prayer. No, we need to pray them through. Because I believe I'm where I am because my grandma prayed me through. I don't want to hear the Lord say, I know you not whence ye are. Now look with me at verse 26. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. I want you to realize, just because you come to church, that don't make you saved. You probably heard the analogy, coming to church don't make you any more saved than going to AutoZone makes you a car. You go there for your part, what you need for your car. Now notice what it says here. Go back to verse 26 for me for just a second. He goes on and says, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Just because you've had encounters with God doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you've had tingly feet, or maybe you have a traumatic experience, or a spiritual experience, doesn't mean that you're saved. We are saved according to the Word of God, and we do it God's way, amen? Let me remind you about what God's Word tells us. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us what we've got to do in order to be saved. Not come to church, not giving millions of dollars, not running the streets, whatever you want to put there. This is what you've got to do in order to be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, everybody say, my mouth. The Lord Jesus says, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do I have anybody who done that? Hallelujah. Give them praise and glory. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. See, we get baptized because our heart has believed to a right standing with God. What does that word righteousness mean? It means that all of our past sins have been washed away, and we are in a right standing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. So you need to confess what you are believing God for. Look with me at Acts 2:38. What do I need to do to be saved? Here it is again. Peter didn't just say believe. Notice what he said. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody say repent. Amen. The word repent in the Greek is the word metanoia. What it means is to change direction. I have somebody say, well, that just means to go from unbelief to belief. Well, I want to tell you something, honey. If you go from unbelief to belief, you're going to start living right. Amen. Because God's Word will correct you, and God's Word will challenge you, and God's Word will change you. The Holy Ghost will correct you and direct you. Notice he says, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That word remission there means washing away, the payment for. We go down in the water in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus Christ. We are identifying and telling the world, look, Jesus paid the price for my sins. And that blood, my faith in that blood, has washed away all of my sins. And when you come up, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're born again. Hallelujah. When you were born the first time, how many of you know water broke? You came through water. In the same way, when you're baptized, it's a symbolism of being born again, of a rebirth. Hallelujah. And I thought about this. People say all the time, what about the thief on the cross? Was he baptized in water? Was he baptized in water? We know he wasn't baptized but physically like we get. But how many of you know what happened when Jesus was hanging on the cross and the centurion pierced his side? What came out? Blood and water. There was his baptism. Hallelujah. And we've got to understand, we've got to realize, we need to be baptized. Baptism by itself, without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, does you no good. Baptism without believing that the blood washed away your sins does you no good. But when you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, hallelujah, you go under that water, you come out, you're telling the devils, you're telling your family members, you're telling all those that are witnesses that, hey, I believe Jesus Christ, blood shed the price, paid the price for my sins and washed them away. I believe, hallelujah, my name's on the roll and I'm on my way to heaven. Can somebody bless the Lord in this house tonight? Talk about what you got to do to be saved. And this is a work, amen? Because the devil's doing everything he can to talk you out of it, ain't he? The devil's doing everything he can to get you to stay home, to get you to avoid being involved with God and what God wants you to do. Let's look at 1 John 1:9. How many of you realize the majority of the New Testament was written to Christians? The Gospels were actually written to the Jews and the unbelieving Gentiles that they might be saved. But the majority of the Bible was written to the church. so that we might know how to please God. So 1 John 1:9 was actually written to Christians, not to sinners. Notice what he tells us here, because God knows we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Then he throws this word out here, God forbid. The word God forbid in the Greek is so strong, that's the best translation they can come up with. May it never be, one translation says. But notice what John wrote to Christians. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we used to believe in the holiness movement and sanctification as a second definite work of grace, that it, once it happened in your life, you didn't have to worry about sinning anymore. But we've since learned better. And we understand that what sanctification does is separate us from the dominion and power of sin. See, have you ever heard somebody say, I just can't help but do that? If you can't help but do it, you need to get sanctified. You need to let the Holy Spirit crucify that flesh. Crucify that desire that's contrary to the will of God in your life. Hallelujah. But notice what it goes on and says here. 1 John 1 verse 9. Pull up verse 10 for me, Brother Glenn. 1 John chapter 1 verse 10. What do we do as children of God when we stumble and fall? And again, this is a work. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, I've confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I've gone and I've been sanctified. I've allowed the Holy Spirit to consecrate my life for service to God. I've stumbled and I've fallen and the Holy Spirit is dealing with me. What do I do? Talk to him. Confess it. You don't need to tell me and everybody else, although I'm happy to counsel with you and I'm happy to help you, but you need to confess it to the one who's convicting you of it. It's not Pastor Ron. It's the Holy Ghost. So when you say that you have not sinned, you make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In other words, we're not where we need to be with God. See, that's another area where we need that. That's why we have revivals, why we meet together Sunday morning, Sunday night, and on Sunday school, and then we have Wednesday night prayer time and services. Now, as we go forward, I want us to go to this scripture right here. Verse 27 of the gospel that we're in, Luke chapter 13, verse 27. Notice what the Father says. Something powerful. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not which ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of what? Iniquity. But Lord, I prayed the sinner's prayer. What are you doing? Lord, I went to church every service. What are you doing with your life when you're not in church? What are you doing since you prayed the sinner's prayer? Have you confessed your sins? These were people that came to the Lord on the day of judgment, and evidently they had never confessed their sins. They never repented of their sins. They went on the fact they prayed the sinner's prayer. As I've heard somebody say one time, well, my faith is in the cross. Great, my faith is in the cross too, but I am not going to take it for granted when God said he's going to tell all those who practice iniquity, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I ain't going to take a chance. Notice what it goes on and says here. I want you to realize that we need to understand that we are going to depart. And when we depart, there's only one other option. When you hear the Lord say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, the only other option is hell. You will go into the lake of fire. Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14, the Lord gives us a powerful message, an example of this, when he gives the parable of the marriage feast. Verses 1 and 2, God is prepared, as I've already told you, all things for Jesus. verses 3 and 4, he tells the servants to go out and get people and compel them to come in. You know the story. They all begin to make excuses one after another. One says, I've taken a field and I can't come. Another one says, I've married a wife and I can't come. Another one says, I've got to work and I can't come. And so the master gets mad and he tells the servants to go out and bring those in, because the people who I invited weren't worthy. So they go out and they bring others in. Now let's pick up with verse 11. Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, look at your neighbor and say, the king's looking at you. Hallelujah. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Verse 12. And he cometh unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. You're not going to have an answer for God on that day. Now's the time to get it right. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How many of you know that's the lake of fire? He thought he was in. He thought he made it. He thought he was ready. Now notice this, Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. The call goes out, whosoever will, let him come. But not everybody comes. Hallelujah. I want to be one of those who come. Now look with me at verse 28 of Luke's gospel. Verse chapter 13. Notice what it says here.